Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through chapter 10, verse 5. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first book, chapters 9 and 10. The Holy Apostle writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Paul writes, "I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Those are sobering words. They're frightening words if you're on this end of the pulpit. You see, the Israelites had received gifts from the Lord. They were sheltered by his cloud of glory. They passed through the dry ground, through the Red Sea. They ate the bread and the quail every day. They drank from the rock. Their clothing and their shoes never wore out. They received the great and enduring gifts of the Spirit by being baptized into Moses. And yet, for all that, they were overthrown in the wilderness. They did not finish the race. They thought in their sojournings that they should have more. They are always looking back to Egypt with its pots of meat and its chains of safe servitude. Their desires ate them up in the wilderness. They didn't control their eyes, their hands, their thoughts. And eventually they became so blind that they couldn't see the gifts. They couldn't recognize them anymore. And so they gave themselves over to their flesh. They ended up despising God's gifts and their giver. And the result was they are left scattered in the sand, overthrown in the wilderness, disqualified in the end. Paul here talks about running, about striving, about disciplining his body, and he connects it to the wanderings of the Israelites in the wilderness. He urges some discipline, first upon himself and then upon the church, lest he himself be lost after he spent all that time preaching. He does not want to be one of those whose lives litter the wilderness, who end up being scattered from the Lord. It was a thing that was on his mind, a major thing. He knows that even if he preached rightly and did all the right things, in the end, he could be lost if he let the faith become an ideology, a philosophy, a rational way of living that had very little bearing on his life, that he could end up like his forefathers. He knows how strong and dangerous our flesh is. And we, oh wanderers in the wilderness, we have taken the riches of the faith for granted. The faith has too often become an ideology to us, something we work with all the time. But we rather lose its sharpness and its sweetness. With the Holy Apostle, we feel this in our spirits, and that's good. But how many Ash Wednesdays have come and gone, and you have resolved to do better every Lent? Though your spirit has been willing, you found your flesh to be very weak, haven't you? And frankly, your spirit, it doesn't have that much will either. It's pretty slack. But we all think especially at the beginning of a season, that some discipline will save us. If I read the Bible more, if I pray more, if I go to church more, this unease in me, this sloth in my flesh would dissipate. Can you see how confused your sinful thoughts are? We think that these efforts at discipline will save us if we do it enough or do it right. But it's not true. It's deceptive. A resolve that is oriented only toward the disciplines, the reading and the praying and the so forth, it will only frustrate you, and it will never save you. The point of the disciplines which Paul speaks of is to help keep one's eye on the prize, the upward call of Christ Jesus. The prize is not the increased prayers. It is not the reading time. It is not the fasting or other such good and salutary things. The discipline is never the prize. It is not the gift. The gift is the giver himself. But discipline is good because St. Paul talks about it and Jesus talked about it. It's a gift that St. Paul encourages us to exercise. He used it to keep himself focused lest he be lost, disqualified. The Israelites lost it. They're a great example to us. The disciplines are good in that they direct the eyes of faith to the Lord Christ who saved us from our sin, especially our sin of pride. This is why Jesus told us that strange saying, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Don't let the left hand count up while the right hand is fighting. Don't keep track of these things. Because make no mistake, this is a fight and a struggle. It's not an effort to count up all the goals that you can reach. We do work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The flesh cannot be tamed. One never quite gets there, do we? It's always a struggle, a hard fight, a long, hard slog. And these days of pre-Lent remind us to prepare for the toil of Lent that is coming and our great need for repentance. We must know Christ and Him crucified. Everything must serve that end. Our eyes must be always drawn to the cross and on to the resurrection. And the disciplines of repentance and faith help this. But this is the end goal, not the discipline, but Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. He is the promised land. He is the land flowing with the milk and honey of life and salvation. He is the rock ever flowing with the water of life. His are the wounds in which we shelter like birds shelter in the clefts of a cliff. He is the one to whom the disciplines, the running and the boxing of St. Paul, he is the one that point us, that we are pointed to. All of our struggles always find their rest in him. His is the hand that wipes away your tears. His is the body and blood that refresh you, that give you strength, that lift up your hearts. The Catechism, of all things, echoes St. Paul here. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. Fine. But that person is truly worthy and well-prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It is the Spirit who works in these disciplines to keep us gathered in His church as He calls and gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us to receive the one thing needful, the forgiveness of our sins. And so our eyes and ears are always tuned on these words, given and shed for you. The Lord gives to you abundantly. He gives you all you need, your daily bread. He does not want His people scattered, but He wants them gathered around His body. Where the body is, there the eagles gather, He said. He did not desire that the Israelites be lost, that they be scattered in the sand. He is not a barbarian who delights in sowing fear and laying waste. He is your shepherd. He seeks and finds the lost. He picks up His lambs and lays them on His shoulder and brings them back to His flock. And He was very earnest when He said, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, It is the Lord's proper work to gather and not to scatter. He gathered the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He gathers the Gentiles who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. He caused the pieces of the bread and the fish to be gathered after he fed the 5,000, so to feed his hungry disciples. He is always gathering. And believing this is his proper work, we are always praying. As the broken bread was scattered upon the mountains, but was brought together and became one, so let thy church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into thy kingdom. For thine is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Sean Ballard, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.